Okay, so we turn to the beginning of Perek Chaf Ches, the big dealing with the mitzvah of, the commandment of, and directions of how to make the big day kahuna. So there are a few, first in the first pasuk, I asked a question when we learned it on Friday, and I still don't have an answer to that. Chapter 28, verse 1. And I still have an answer to that question, but there's another question that the Ramban raises, which is interesting. So now you're going to bring towards you Aaron, your brother, and his children from amongst Bnei Israel to be my priests. Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, Yitamar, Bnei Aaron. So now you got Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, Yitamar, and Bnei Aaron. So a few questions. Why do we need their names? And why does it repeat Bnei Aaron at the end? So my question was, I thought at this point in history, who's supposed to be the priests? The priests are supposed to be the Bechorim, right? Like Sam, you're a Bechor. And like me, I'm a Bechor. Any other Bechors in this room? Another Bechor, okay. So that was what it was supposed to be. And that changes by the Chet Egel. Chet Egel hasn't happened yet. So why here are we already talking about the priest being the Kohan? Now it's true that Aaron was the oldest, and Aaron may have become the Kohen Gadol, right? That is an important point. But guess what? Four of his kids are not all Bechorim. So something is a little awry with that pasuk. But anyways, the Ramban, so if you come across an answer to that, I'd be interested in seeing it. But beyond, there Kli Yakar touches on. We'll mention the Kli Yakar in a second. But the Ramban says, Bahatam, Nadav Aviyu Elazar Yitamar Bnei Aaron. How do we say that? Shelo yichashiv ki behemshe ha'av l'kahano, so said, will not think that the continuation, that's because they anointed Aaron to be the Kohen, his sons are automatically Kohanim. But they themselves he needed to anoint. So it wasn't enough to just anoint Aaron. Aaron's the dad. Guess what his children are? His children are also Kohanim. Right, my father is a Kohen, my grandfather's a Kohen, so his children are Kohanim. So the Ramban says, no. Those children were already alive. So if you're going to anoint Aaron, you're going to miss out on those four kids. Those four children are not going to be Kohanim. Who's going to be the next Kohen? The next child that Aaron has. And Aaron's already, 90 years old at the time, at least. I think even older. I think he's probably in his mid-90s already at that time. He's no spring chicken. So in order to make sure that there's the next batch of Kohanma ready to go, so those four children all had to be anointed. V'hine yatsa Pinchas v'shar hanoldim. And therefore you are excluding Pinchas, right? Those four are anointed, and you're excluding Pinchas. Vishar Hanoldim, and the other ones that were already born. Right? Pinchas, who's Pinchas' father? Elazar. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas is born already at this point. So therefore, Aaron's a Kohen, the four children are a Kohanim, and any children that will come from those four children after they are Kohanim will be Kohanim, excluding whom? Pinchas. Pinchas is excluded from being a Kohen at this point. That the only ones that were Kohanim were those four, and those that will come from them, the children that will be born following this event. So therefore, yes, welcome back from Edmonton.
Thank you. Greetings from Edmonton, your old buddy.
Thank you very much. Yes, you flew in.
Trying to get me to go to the Yom HaTzmaut thing I had to attend. My son-in-law wouldn't let me.
Sorry to hear that. All right, so
I'll tell you about it. Really interesting.
We'll hear about it later, I'm sure. So the pasuk. So what else? So that's the Ramban. The Ramban says that we have those four. Those four are excluding the Kohanim or their children that were already born, and that's why Pinchas has to be anointed later on. Pinchas gets his own ceremony.
You haven't answered the question originally, right? The original question about the Bechorim.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why are we talking about?
I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer at this point. The Kli Yakar seems to at least be in the ballpark. But it doesn't really answer this question. The Kli Yakar adds in that biatak rivilecha saron achicha mitoch b'nei Yisrael, that you're now going to add Aaron, your brother, from amongst b'nei Yisrael. So why viata? Now, the truth is there's several viatas. The parsha begins with the word viata. Viata titzaveh el b'nei Yisrael. And then Perek Chaf Ches begins with the word viata rivilecha. And then there's one more viata that is pasuk gimel. Viata tedaber el chol chachmei lev. So Hashem is saying to Moshe several times, you, I need you particularly to do this. So you got to raise that question. Why is Moshe in particular being called to do some of these tasks? But anyways, the Kli Yakar at this point says, Hosif kan lashon vata, it's added here. At least this vata is telling you, Lomar lecha shemitzad maisa egel nisrachik aron kemosh nifslu b'chori Yisrael. That based on the actions of the Cheta Egel, Aaron is just as cut off as the b'chori Yisrael. Oh boy, that is opening a huge can of worms. What is the story? Aaron's involvement in the Cheta Egel is a very ambiguous topic. What? Yes, so we will get to that, Mir Seshem. Right, we'll get to that in the next couple of weeks. Aaron's role in the Cheta Egel, and that is a very pressing issue that needs to be resolved.
He's also Bechor,
right?
You just said
that. Yeah!
Miriam
was older, wasn't she?
No. She was older than Moshe, but not. Yeah. Well, that's right, because when she pleaded with her parents, they didn't have any male children at that point. Right?
Yeah, they had Aaron.
No, they had Aaron before already. Aaron was his older child. I'm trying to recall. We learned that Gemara here, that Gemara where. Oh, no, I think we used it in the Drasha, that Aaron. Yeah, by the Ema Banim Smicha, we gave this drasha over Pesach, where the Medrash describes that
he was 3 years older than Moshe.
He was 3 years. That means Miriam was the oldest then. Right, so Miriam was the oldest, so he wasn't the Bechor. Right, that Miriam convinced them, and at the wedding, Aaron and Miriam danced in front of the parents, and the Malachim sang Ema Banim Smicha. So what they make the point that one of them was very young at the time. I guess it was Aaron. I guess Miriam was the one who convinced the parents and followed Moshe, and Aaron was younger than Miriam, although I'm surprised that I'm forgetting right now. But okay, so anyways, what are you pondering?
When Miriam told her parents that this is wrong, you mm-hmm. can't separate.
Right.
Aaron was already around?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, then there would have been children. I mean...
Well, you're separating and everyone else is separating. So it wasn't about you not having children. It was about the entire Jewish people not having children.
Yeah, right. If Aaron was 3 years older than Moshe, there was still room for her to be in between.
I mean, correct. But I think one of them, I'm just thinking that at Gemara, they're trying to make the point that one of them was of a regular age and one of them is very young. So I feel like Miriam was the one of a regular age. She's the one who tracked down Moshe afterwards. And the other one is very young. I think he was 3. He was probably toilet trained already, because whatever. That's been on my mind recently. Sorry, gotta get that. Okay, what? We can have our support group after Shir. Okay, so the Kli Yakar continues on and says. So he should be puzzled. Aaron should be puzzled. So that's why Moshe kirvu b'tfilaso, and Moshe brought him close with his tefillah. What is that talking about? So the luck in Devarim, you know, a lot of times with a lot of these stories in Tanakh, you can look in Devarim and the truth comes out a little bit more. And sometimes the truth is not always pretty. Uva Aaron his anef Hashem me'od el hashmido v'espalel gam bad Aaron be'isahi. Aaron had drawn the ire of God, and God wanted to take care of Aaron as well.
Really?
And Moshe davened on his behalf. All right, so that's coming attractions for the next couple of weeks. So the inyan tefillah zu should tell Moshe ba'asun le'mor halo achyu b'sarihu that Moshe daven. What do you mean? He's my brother. He's my basar. V'yishmidasuk ilu nechal chatzi b'sarig gedor she'spala al Miriam. And if you get rid of him, you're getting rid of half my basar. Similarly to the way he daven for Miriam. Daven Miriam. How can you? You know that's they're part of me. So by destroying them, you're destroying part of me. And that's an interesting argument. So they're getting that favoritism. Right? I can make the argument and sort of save Aaron and Miriam, but I can't make the argument for others. Anyways, even though he was amongst those in Bnei Yisrael, Ovdei Ha'egel, those who worshipped the calf.
I don't believe it.
That's a very strong language.
Very He was a Sikh.
I didn't say it.
He worshipped the ego, or he made the ego.
Ovdei ha'ego.
Did it. That's the job. They were doing it.
Oh, some guy, let me see. Let's see. Moses Mendelssohn? No. The Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar is saying it. All right. Mikol Malkam Karvam Mitoch B'nei Yisrael Ha'ovdim Va'akol Ba'avurecha L'chol Nemar V'yatak P'vilecha Saron Mitoch B'nei Yisrael. But nevertheless, he brought him from amongst B'nei Yisrael and brought him close. So Aaron is brought, is reemerges now as the Kohen Gadol. So, yeah, you got two questions. Number one is, really, he did that? And the second question is, if he did that, why, they'll let him die. I mean... So, okay, we got to keep that Kli Yakar in the back of our heads as we head forward into the next couple of prakim.
Is Kli Yakar consistent, or are these different than everybody else? I mean, I'm sorry, I always say
that. Oh, I can't handle it, I can't handle it. You come off the plane and you're teaching such heresy. What do you want from me? That's what it says. We'll have to get more when we get the Kitis. I don't have more to say about it now.
What happened to the other people who actually worshipped Ego? Were they all killed?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one was killed.
So how did... Part of the question is, how did Aaron escape?
Right, so in order to understand that question, you're going to have to figure out, did Aaron really worship? Or is the Chumash fudging that a little bit? Or is what is the reason that Aaron was saved? If he did, so why was he particularly saved? So you have to deal with some place he had to work out those two issues, right? If he didn't really worship, so I understand why he was saved. But if he didn't really worship, so why do we describe it as if he's worshipped it? And if it's then it's described, so, right? So we got to work these things out.
You want to get an answer?
No. We got to wait to that text a little bit later. Okay. So Davar Acher, he also adds in Lekach Nemar Mitoch Bnei Yisrael. If Yishein Hanavua Shora on the Bnei Yisrael, Ki Im Beschus Yisrael. Kamo Shapirish Rashi. Why does it say he's asking? And that's Bnei Yisrael Mitoch Bnei Yisrael. Why does he say Mitoch Bnei Yisrael? Because the Navua is Shora. The Navua rests on this merit of all the Jews. So we're taking them from the rest of the Jews, but realize that they're from the rest of the Jews. That the reason why you're getting this prophecy is because they are emerging on behalf of the rest of the Jewish people. Okay, so that is an idea from the Kli Yakar. The Or HaChaim also has much to say. You know, let's instead of going there, let's go to the Sforno. The Sforno says in the second pasuk, "Vasisavig dechodesh l'Aron achicha l'chavod ul'sifar." So you're going to make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, right? For splendor and for beauty. That's at least the way some translate it. How do we, with our different, everyone here is using a stone. How do you translate, except for Sam? How do you translate l'chavod ul'sifar? How does our school translate it? Glory and splendor.
What's the word?
Okay.
Where is
this? The end of verse 2.
Splendor that comes home.
Splendor and beauty.
Splendor and beauty. So not only do we have a problem in terms of the words, they're different words, but the word splendor in the art scroll is used to translate Tiferes, and the word splendor is used in the blue book to translate L'chavod.
Right? Oh, right.
What? Chavod ul sifaris. So I'll tell you what the Sforno says. The Sforno says l'chavod. L'chavod hakel yisparach b'yosem bigdei kodesh l'avodaso. L'chavod is referring, he's not translating the word, he's just saying l'chavod has to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're wearing clothing in order to honor Hashem. And what's ul sifaris? Shia kohen more nora al kol sevivav. That the kohen has to impose awesome respect on all those who are around him. Shehem Tamidav Hachokikim Alibo Vikasefav. Those are his students who are engraved on his heart and on his shoulders, meaning on the Choshen, as we talked about, on the shoulder and on the Choshen itself. So Tifares is not about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but rather it's projected back towards Bnei Israel. But that's the concept of Chavot Tifares, both towards Hashem as well as towards Bnei Israel. And that is a theme with regards to Avod and the Beis HaMikdash. Is it for Hashem or is it for us? Right, so Chavod Tifares seems to represent that dialectic. So the Ramban makes a comment about L'chavod ul Sifares. He says, "Yanichbad umufuar b'malvushim nichbadim umufarim," that he should be honored in very nice clothing. Kemosha Amar Kasuv Kechasan Yikahin Paer, like a chasan who wears kohen garments. The chassan would wear very nice garments like a kohen does. So the kohen is supposed to be wearing garments similar to a king, right? These were kingly garments. Kidmusan yalbusha hamlach mizman haTorah. Those are the similar to those garments were what were worn by the kings during the time of the Torah, as we find ksones faasalo ksones pasim. As we see that also description in the making of the ksones pasim shepershu mu kemes kidmus pasim, that it would be woven in the way of pasim. Vehi ksones tashpeitz, it was a very nice garment. Kmo shepirashu vilbishu kben malchi kedem, that he was worn like the kings of old. Similar with the rest of the garments as well. So that's these were considered the very nice garment. Now you have to be very careful with that, because if we're saying, well, why are you wearing those particular garments? Because that's what the kings wore at the time. Well, what if the Beis HaMikdash now gets built in the year 2017? What is the Kohen Gadol going to wear? Is he going to wear that which the kings wear at the time? Is he going to wear ties that are made in China? All right, what's he going to? What is the Kohen going to wear? What's the Kohen Gadol going to wear? So I don't know. I've never heard anybody say. There is that idea with the korbanos that the Rambam has this comment where he says in the Moreh Nevuchim, where he says that korbanos were necessary in the old days but not necessarily nowadays. And some suggest based on that that maybe the Rambam actually holds that they're not going to be a korbanos in the future based on Mikdash, which is somewhat hard to believe that the Rambam actually held that, as the Rambam doesn't say that anywhere in the Mishnah Torah. And we gave a shiur on that in Beth HaMedrash a couple of years ago. You can all check it on YU Torah.
Investments.
So they're going to be outdated already.
Yeah,
they're
already outdated.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't think. Yeah, they didn't have styles. I don't think the styles changed like they did. They do today.
But it very specifically says what the garments are, so it's not going to change. These garments are
okay.
They're in the Torah, so
okay.
There's no fashion.
It's not like Ralph Lauren's going to come in and change the style or something.
Definitely not Ralph Lauren.
His name is Ralph Lipschitz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he on the list last night? Of the, all right.
Tommy Hilfiger is definitely not Tommy.
Definitely not him. Yeah. I never heard anybody suggest it, but it's a little. Why would the Ramban make that point? The Ramban, like, oh, what does he mean by Levushim Malchus Hain Kemosim Mushum Malachim Bizman HaTorah? Right. It's like the way the kings dressed during the time of the Torah. What is the usefulness of that remark? If it's not supposed to be contextualized, so then why do I care that that's what the kings were then? Right?
Because it's supposed to convey the fact that the Kohen Gadol is of an elevated status and should be looked up to.
Right.
Okay, so then it should, and he should wear whatever is on an elevated status according to that time.
But
I don't know, I just I'm not I don't want to get bogged down.
The kings wear everyday clothing.
Right.
They don't wear king-like clothes.
Right.
They were like everybody else.
Right. Yeah. You should walk around with a jacket slung over his shoulder, right? Like.
For state functions, they have more regal, you know, with the sashes and the medals.
Some do.
You know,
the Kohen?
I mean, they.
No, the president.
No, right, the president doesn't wear that, but the president, you know, is a little different. Some different countries have different things. So, all right, anyways. Throwing that out there. The Ramban also adds in. Alright, I won't do that, Ramban. The another thing, so then the Orach Chaim also makes a comment here. Yeah, the Ramban makes an interesting point. The Orach Chaim makes an interesting point where he says, this Kavod Tifar, he says, Sarach Ladas, Mahi Kavanas Hashem Ba'omru L'Chavod. What did Hashem have in mind when he said for the Kavod and Tifaris? He says, Ach Hashem Hodiyah Ma'aseim Ba'ofenehem, Ve'im Lahodiyah Shebegadim Eilu Yish Behem La'aron Kavod Tifaris, Ma Yatzal Lan Mizeh. So now we know what they are, what he's supposed to do. You're telling us that these Begadim were made for honor and glory, so what do we get from that? So he says, "V'ulai she'is bar al pi masha amru b'perek ein ma'amid." Perhaps this could be answered by a question that was asked in Perek ein ma'amidim. In ma'amidim, I believe it's the third, if not the second. I think it's the third Perek in Avodah Zarah. And he's asked, "V'zeh l'shanu shalu es Rebbe Akiva v'mesh shimesh Moshe kol shivas yimei hamiluim." That we know for the first 7 days after the Mishkan was made, Moshe did the avoda in the Mishkan. So what did Moshe wear? So what did Moshe wear? So you don't have to worry. The Gemara asked that question. that Rabbi Kiva, no less than Rabbi Kiva, asked that question. Right? Lo hava biyadei. So he didn't have an answer. Just as, don't worry, you're not alone. You're not alone. Rabbi Kiva didn't know the answer either. So Rabbi Kiva goes to the base medrash. Vashal Bei Midrash. He goes to the base medrash and he tells him, Amar Lei, the Chaluk Lavan. He wore a white shirt. She'ein bo Amra. So he nei mamish shishimish Moshe b'shivus miyam milu and b'chaluk. So what do we see? That Moshe wore some kind of chaluk, a toga, a chaluk, a robe, some kind of robe over the course of those 7 days. Zeyagid she'ein habegadim ma'akvin elal Aaron uvanim. So that tells us something very important, that the begadim are only necessary for Aaron and his sons. Aval zulas hakohanim tisratza avodas hakarbanos below begadim. But if it wasn't for the fact that kohanim were the ones doing the avoda, you would not need to wear those begadim while doing that avoda. That's a little odd, right? Because the kohanim are the ones that have to do the avoda. But if not, but okay, v'hu mashmudia ba'amr lechabuk. That's what it means to honor them. Lomar lo tachshov ki habegadim letzorchei avoda levad. Don't think that these begadim is for the avoda. V'ischayv adavel lo sham Moshe ba'avodas mi'amelum. In that Moshe had to wear them while he did the avoda. V'lokenu, it's not true. Enam el lechabod lemisharis kavul avodaso to those that are established in its avoda. V'alitzad ha'avoda levad. But with regards to the avoda itself, kshatia bezulas Aaron uvanav yavdu b'chaluk lavan. Right? If it wasn't for the fact that it was Aaron and his sons, they could wear white clothing. Moshe kain shimish Moshe kaniskar. Moshe did it as well. So what is he driving at here? I think what he's driving at is that the begadim are not just about, oh, that Hashem is only going to accept the avoda if people are wearing particular clothing. It's that it's supposed to give us an impression of chashivas, that we realize the kohanim are special because they're wearing special clothing. Because they do the avoda towards Hashem, but it's not. Hashem can accept avoda from Moshe showing up in his white Paul Frederick shirt that he got as an introductory price for $19 plus the inscriptions on it, the monogram, right? That would be okay from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective. From our perspective, we need to hold up the kohen we need to be able to see the kohen as being at a higher status, and that's why he wore that specific clothing. Share one more issue here with regards to the Urim V'Tumim. Towards the very end of Shir, we start the last on Friday, we talked about the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim was something that had the name of Hashem written on it that was placed within the Choshen. The Choshen had a fold in it. As we learned on Friday, the Choshen was cloth with gold on it, but it was itself a cloth thing. And they stuck within it this thing that had Hashem's name on it. So how did this work? So the Ramban says on Pasuk Lamed, you're going to put the Mishpat, Esa'urim V'Esa'tumim. And what are the two names? We call it the Urim V'Tumim. But why are the two names? It will be on the heart of Aaron, B'vo lifnei Hashem, and Esa'urim es Mishpat b'nei Yisrael, Alibo lifnei Hashem tamid. And then Aaron will carry this judgment of b'nei Yisrael in his heart in front of Hashem regularly. So how does this work? So says the Ramban, in the middle of his somewhat a long piece on Pasuk Lamed, so in the middle of it, it says, V'nei Moshe lakach kasav ha'urim v'tumim, v'nicha misham b'choshen ha'mishpat, achrei shehil bishas Aaron ha'ifot v'choshen. That Moshe actually took this Urim V'Tumim and placed it as it already was on Aaron, that it's not really part of the beged, it was added in later. Kamosha Amar, as the Pasuk says, Vayitin alav es ha'ifod, vayachkor osob ha'choshen ve'ifod, vayasim alav es ha'choshen, v'yitin al ha'choshen es urim v'esatum. That they placed on Aaron the choshen, and they put within it the urim v'tum. So he was wearing the choshen first, and then they put the urim v'tum in later, which is useful because in the second base of Mikdash, they didn't have the urim v'tum. So we see that it's not necessarily part of the beged, it's rather something that is added to the begadim. So what do you do with it? V'inyan hu, kayushmos Kedoshim mekham yairu haosios mi avne hachoshen al ene hakoin hashol b'mishpatam. That the light, the candles, the letters on the choshen, on the stones on the choshen, would light up to the eyes of the kohen. They ask the question. So he gives an example. In the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, they ask, who should go up to fight the Kohanim? So the Kohen had in mind the names on the Urim. Ve'iru, le'enav, osios, Yehuda. Yud, milevi, ayin, mishimon, lamid, milevi, hey, Avraham? Va'ayin mi Shimon, Lamed mi Levi. Yeah, what's going on here? The Kohen again. He asked the question. Osios Yehuda. Yehuda, the, yeah, what is, oh, all right, so let's see, one second. So he, so we got the Yud Ayin Lamed, I don't know what the Hey from Avram is. HaKastu Shem Al Das Rav Huseinu. Oh, okay, we got to look up that Gemara. Apparently that Gemara talks about Avram on it. We'll have to look that up. O She'iru Pamacheres Leneged Enav Hey Mi Yehuda. Or maybe a second time around, the letter Hey from Yehuda lit up. Does that mean that there's no other Hey in the entire Urim V'Tumim? The entire, all the names? Menashe? No, not, the Menashe wasn't on it. Yosef was on it. Yosef ben Yamin, Gad, Naphtali, Asher, Zevulun, Yisachar, Levi, Reuven. Wow. It's only one hay. That's pretty neat. There's no hay in Dan. Okay, Vinek, or maybe the letter hey in Yehuda lit up twice, or maybe there's two hays in Yehuda. Okay. Vinek, Asher, Osius, Meiros, Al Enecho, and so when he saw it, Adayin lo Yada Sidurin. The problem is, when he saw the letters, he didn't necessarily know their order. Kamina, Osius, Asher, Sadru, Mehen, Yehuda, Yala, Haya, Efshar, Lasos, Mehem, Hoy, Ad, Aleha. Oh, Have, Hod, Aleha. Oh, Hey, Al Yehuda. So he wasn't sure. V'tevos acheros rabos ma'od. There are many other letters also. Aval hayu sham shmos hakosh acherim nikrim tumim. But there was another name that was on this called the tumim. So the urim were the letters that were what caused the letters to light up. And then the tumim was on the heart of Aaron so that he would understand what the letters meant. Ki kasher kivan b'shemas urim ve'iru chozer miyad mechavim shmos hatumim. That when he saw the letters of the urim light up, he would go immediately, and he would have in mind, understand what the letters meant based on the tumim. But odama osius meirus leinos. So therefore, those letters lit up in his eyes. V'yavu belibo shechiburim Yehuda yaleh. So he was able to figure out that it meant Yehuda yaleh. That's why you need the extra hey. Yehuda, two hays. Yaleh, the third hey. So that's why he had to. But he, because of the tumim concept, he was able to figure out what that meant. V'zos madrega mi madregas ruach hakodesh. This is a madrega higher, for, like amongst the, it's like ruach hakodesh that he was able to get it. What does it mean, ruach hakodesh? Ki lamata min hanavuah. That means that it's less than prophecy. Ulamala mi baskel, but it's above a baskel. Baskel is like a heavenly voice that goes out. So it's above that. Shesh. Shemishtamshim ba bevayis sheni, that which they use in bayit sheni, lachash paska nevu after nevu stopped. The paska urim v'tumim, kosh eski rabu senu. And then the urim v'tumim stopped, as we learn out in the daf chaf aleph amud beis in Meseches Yuma. So, all right, I guess we'll pick up with a couple of more concepts within the halachos of the big dikahuna. Pick up with that on Wednesday. Stop here. So the tumim.